Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So we've got a coach in the NFL that may be understanding the severity of the situation. We will get into that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are making us a part of your Thursday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And we do have a week 3 matchup in the NFL that we are going to preview. We've got a prop bet monster coming up later on this hour here on Fox Sports Radio. I also would like to just apologize in advance to LeVar Arrington, who's in studio. Brady's in Chicago getting ready for the big matchup between Wisconsin and Chicago. getting ready for the big matchup between Wisconsin and Notre Dame. I forgot to put deodorant on this morning, and I didn't realize it until I got to the studio.
You know what, though? No, don't apologize. Don't apologize. Just, LeVar, here's what he's done to you. He's not going to tell you this, but, and I'm sorry to out you on national radio. Jonas is, you know, he's bought into Matthew McConaughey.
He doesn't
wear deodorant, doesn't wear cologne. He likes his natural essence.
Or clothes.
Well, depending on where he's at.
That is foul.
Jonas is trying to follow in those footsteps.
Okay.
And so, unfortunately, you have to bear the burden of that.
Well, I told him I deal with four at home, and at one point in time, I had Irish triplets, three in diapers, drinking bottles at the same time.
Dude, really?
Yes.
Either getting a bottle or changing a crap diaper.
That's
pretty
correct.
Much every minute of the day.
One goes down to sleep. The other one is waking up. The other one is doing that.
Roberto.
You're trying to go back to the original point that I made?
The Irish triplets?
Look it up.
Roberto.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I mean, thank you.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
There's Irish twins. There's Irish triplets. That's a thing.
That's insulting, man.
Racist.
You guys don't care about Irish people like I do. That's insulting. Okay. Brady Quinn, you racist.
Well, anyway,
can we take the show on the road for St. Patrick's Day, by the way? I'm just throwing that out there.
No, we can't.
And that's because of my Irish heritage, you know, I got married during that time. So St. Patty's Day hits right after my anniversary.
So is that a no?
No, I'm saying that's a yes.
Oh, yeah, LeVar Arrington.
I'm saying let's go celebrate.
Yeah, LeVar Arrington.
Yes.
There he is, folks.
There he is. That's what I was looking for.
Hey, look up Arrington, man. That's all I'll say.
I hear you. Listen,
don't go racist with the origin, though. Like, it's not really yours. Like, it is mine.
You were one of the stunt doubles on Far and Away.
Get out of here.
I remember seeing you.
Anyway, back to the point, Brady. This went way off the rails,
Are we on the air, by the way?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because we're all getting to know one another here, right? Like our audience is starting to realize that we really are. We stink.
We're gonna have a problem here in a minute.
So I don't breathe out of my nose. Like I've learned to breathe. Like if I didn't do it in locker rooms, because there were times in locker rooms I would literally just breathe out of my mouth. And I'd rather taste funk than smell it. I'd rather taste it than smell it. Like, if I taste it, it's like, that's nasty, but I can get over it. If I smell it, I'll dry heave out, like, all kinds of different things because I have a very weak stomach. So I learned how to adapt and adjust, and nothing more so when you get intimate and close up with a baby diaper that has had the business totally done to it, right?
Yeah.
So you adapt and you adjust. So under armpit funk does nothing to funk me up. You know what I mean? Like nothing at all. Yeah,
it does
because I breathe out of my mouth. Right. I'm speaking,
well,
and I'm
Jonas
breathing out
of
my
ears,
mouth.
I'd say,
well, there you go. That's if I could learn to do that, I'd be way better off.
Oh,
just
God.
Telling you, if you teach me that, I'll be your friend forever.
By the way, there's a large portion of the audience that will not get that joke, and then they will later on today and go, "Oh my God, what a that was a." Just a rocket ship of a joke by Brady Quinn. Just unbelievable.
I think it's a compliment, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah, it's also a lie is what it is. So let's just go ahead and leave that there. All right, so Urban Meyer, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-2. And we've talked about it feels like people in the media would like to see Urban Meyer fail. They would love nothing more than to see him fail. He had a conversation, apparently, with Vic Fangio of the Denver Broncos, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. And Vic Fangio pointed out something Urban Meyer mentioned to him, which I think says a lot about where he feels like he's at in the NFL.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, you know, shook his hand before the game and after the game. And his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL. You know, that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
So when
it's not true.
Oh, so not everybody's like Alabama?
No.
No.
Not in the sense of like Alabama in the pro ranks. And everybody is capable of beating everybody, but not really, not in the true sense of the word, capable. It's not true.
What do you mean?
Well, because the elites of the elites in the National Football League generally won't lose to certain teams.
Yeah, but hold on. I mean,
any given Sunday, sure, it could happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Last year, I mean, look, Alabama's on a win streak. They haven't lost. You have to go back to 2019. So, like, as much as, like, the difference is, I think, yeah, you might get a loss here or there, but that's about it. I mean, even some of the better teams will drop four games in a season or five games in a season. I mean, think about the team
overall,
who won the Super Bowl
last overall, year. Sure. Overall.
But here's where I think there's two things that bother me about the comment, and it's not even what Coach Meyer said. It's the fact that this all came about from one of those live mics on the field where they got sound from Urban Meyer and Vic Fangio having a conversation before. And what I hate about this is this is one of those moments where I feel like he kind of let his guard down. Was
this
just having
personal
a
moment.
Yeah, like having a natural conversation with a peer, with another coach in the NFL. And we don't know what was said before that. We don't know really what was said outside of that clip.
That's American culture.
And that's the hard part is, like, the media wants to make out Urban Meyer like he's not going to make it. Like they're almost trying to push him out before we can even see what they're capable of, what he's capable of. Like, I hope he hangs around for at least 3 or 4 or 5 years, regardless of the results, just to infuriate the media. Because I feel like that'll be such a painful thing for them because for whatever reason, they've already made up their mind. And they're using clips like this to justify it. And so to your point, LeVar, yeah, there's probably similarities where like, no, in the NFL, like the best teams are not gonna get beat by the worst team. It just ain't gonna happen. Now maybe once in a blue moon, but it's kind of similar to that in Alabama. Now I tend to think in general what Vic Fangio was saying was talent's more equated in the NFL, and that is what it's like. Like, you are more reliant on your coaches and scheme in the NFL than you are in college.
You have to be.
You have to be.
Yes.
And so I think that's more of what the kind of the gist of the conversation was, whether or not those words were actually said. That's more what I took from it. But the other thing is just that I'm telling you, the media is out to get Urban Meyer. Even if they win when they win, they'll still try to knock it. They'll still try to find something to talk negative about.
He's the only one in the conversation with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Like, be clear. You can't pinpoint another coach that's in the same conversation with those two guys other than Urban Meyer. Yeah. Whether for good or for bad, for better or for worse, for loving it or hating it, Urban Meyer is one of those guys. He wins. He wins.
Everywhere.
He does it. He does it his way. And you think that he's pompous. You think that he's self-absorbed. You think that he's arrogant. Oh, wait, that sounds like who else? those other guys, right?
And every coach has an ego, correct?
Yeah, but every coach doesn't have an ego and show the capabilities that are connected with that ego where you have to deal with it. So for all the times that we laugh and brush over, oh, that's just Belichick. Oh, that's just Saban. Oh, that's just Urban, right? You are forced to accept what they are because of their greatness, right? So you don't have the ability to be like, man, who do you think you are to address the media this way? Like, you have no right to address, like, and that would be really how vast majority of coaches would be received. I mean, think about it. The dude rolled on Deion for telling him to call him coach. I'll call you Deion. Because that's what I'm going to do, right? So in these moments where you're looking at how the media responds and handles things, you got guys like Urban Meyer who gives not one F about what they feel, what they think, any of that. So when you created that reputation, you're generally in a situation where either A, they accept it and they love you for who you are, and that's very rare that happens. Or it's the latter. You're much maligned. They're waiting to be able to get even, so to speak, which you're not even in competition. But a lot of times media feels like if you wronged me in some type of way, if you didn't respect me in some type of way, that there's always going to be this constant vendetta alert that's on. Like, oh, here it is. Got him. Got him. Like, okay, Urban Meyer is 0-2. This is our opportunity to get at Urban Meyer.
It's why some guys have to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, Terrell Owens should have been a first-ballot Hall of Fame.
Oh, they give him the blues.
Why would he not get in the Hall of Fame?
Tell me how many receivers are better than Terrell 100%. Owens.
And they made him wait because it was their way to get revenge. Mm-hmm. And that has always pissed me off.
You know what I never understand about it either? Is, and I guess we're a part of it, and I'll fully admit, like, I don't have all the answers. I could give you my opinion or what I saw, but like, I don't have all the answers. I'm wrong a lot. But the media acts like what they say is gospel, and meanwhile, the guy who's been successful, who's in that position because of his success, is the one that they go and question. And we're talking about more media members who maybe never played the game. Like, a lot of which never played the game. A lot of which who are trying to question these different antics and things. They never played the game. They never coached the game. They have no perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't know what it's like to change a culture. And that's what he was tasked with doing. When Urban Meyer was hired in Jacksonville, they didn't just bring him in to be a head coach. They brought him in to change the way people in Jacksonville feel about the team, root for the team, the way the team feels about itself, the way they view themselves, the way they go out and prepare and practice every day. It's really hard to make a culture shift. It's difficult. It's ugly. It takes time. And that's the thing, this is not an easy turnaround.
Not at all.
This has been a team that was the worst in the league last year, and they've been one of the worst teams for a while. But we act like it was supposed to happen like the snap of our fingers. It just doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is
supposed to be able to pop it in a microwave winner, microwave champ.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a microwave culture and society now. People don't believe in building things from the bottom up anymore, like with substance and, you know, structure and foundation. It's like, I need it now. If it doesn't apply to you, it's like, I need it now. And that's, you know, it's interesting, but I like what you said. I will say this before you take us a break. There are some guys in media, like one guy that I respect so much, like to the life of me, is Mike Wilbon. There are some guys in the media that have never played the game and never been a part of the game that are actually, they actually do their jobs the way that they're supposed to do their jobs, and people love and respect them for that. It's when you get into the emotions and the narcissism of what your story is going to be or what it is that you're thinking or what your opinion is. You're allowed to have an opinion. Have your opinion. Whether you played the game or whether you didn't play the game, you're allowed to have your opinion. But when your opinion becomes something that you're forcing as a forced agenda to try to make everybody else's opinion be your opinion, then you're out of pocket. You're out of pocket and you're out of touch. And I would even venture to go say that about some of us who have played, because there are some guys in the media that have played and they have no business saying some of the stuff that they say. So when people like you and I come into the business and we're doing these types of shows and we're talking about these types of situations, it's coming from a real perspective. It's not coming from us trying to force feed you what I want you to believe or what I want you to be. We're just giving you perspective. And that's the difference between somebody who's being responsible over their words and reporting and giving opinions versus somebody who's pushing an agenda to feed whatever it is that they're trying to feed.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, there you go.
Yeah, well,
Jonas.
Yeah, listen.
That's who I'm talking about.
Jonas definitely builds from the bottom.
Yeah. That's what I
do. That's how he works.
Hey, I got
he works
news.
From the bottom up.
Okay.
Look, when people ask me, play the game? I'll lie and say I did. I don't care. I'm not above it. All right? I'm not above it. I know how this,
you can
this
do
game
it.
Is
we
played.
Can rock. We yeah. rock together.
That's
I'll
right.
rock
yeah.
with you.
I'll lie about it.
When we go to state college, I'm going to be like, yeah, man, he played in 94, 95.
Hey, LeVar, you got to take us to state college.
We got to go, man.
Yeah, why are you holding out on us?
We got to go.
BS, man.
Man, we should have went to that whiteout.
Yeah.
There's another one. There's another one.
Like, come on. Roberto, seriously. Like, you going to let him talk like that? Are we talking about whiteouts? I mean, what are we doing here?
Racist.
Like, yeah, this
are
is
you,
ridiculous.
Are you
here.
Serious?
All right, it is two pros and a cup of
gosh.
Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. By the way, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2021. Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. All right, so there's a quarterback in the NFL that's trying to play both sides of the fence here. Somebody needs to call him out. I'm not buying this for a second. We'll get to that next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, we will have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster. So that'll be happening here in about 20 minutes from now here on FSR. So the Prop Bet Monster, Brady Quinn holding on to a narrow 1-point lead here on the Prop Bet Monster. So we will have the Week 3 debut, Thursday Night Football, made-up prop bets on the show. Some of them not appropriate, but that's what makes it fun.
I thought we were even after Monday Night Football.
No, because you won the first week. So because you're up 1-0 because you won the first week, you tied last week. So still anybody's ball game heading into Week 3. Yeah. So
I'm really good in the ball game. Yeah, so I should you know be competitive with Brady Ball Quinn.
Yeah. Listen, tell me about it, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So, that'll be happening.
I don't know what you're insinuating.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm insinuating. It just sounded funny to me. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I think Tom Brady's playing both sides of the fence here. All right. I think there's an ulterior motive. Okay. Now, you remember when Tom Brady was saying earlier in the offseason about, we shouldn't have to practice as much. You know, we shouldn't have to be here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, Brady.
Strategic.
Yeah, Brady Quinn was the first conspiracy theorist who said, listen, like, this guy's not going to be out there getting extra reps in. Like, he's just trying to get a competitive advantage over a lot of other people in the NFL. Tom Brady was on SiriusXM recently, and he talked about the league, and apparently the league getting soft, according to the 44-year-old quarterback.
There's a lot of plays and hits that are happening on quarterbacks now that are flags for defensive players that probably weren't that way 10 or 15 years ago. So I'd say the game is a little softer than it used to be. You know, I think the defensive players are more on the defensive when they go into tackle. And I think that's probably adding to this element of quarterbacks outside the pocket and taking more chances, than they did in the past.
Yeah. That's a guy trying to diminish quarterback play amongst youngsters in the league and also kiss ass to defenders like LeVar Arrington so they take it easy on him next time.
I mean, LeVar, preach. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's trying to kiss your ass, LeVar.
He's not wrong. I mean, think about it. He's a fiery dude. I mean, you think back to the Super Bowl, him and Honey Badger were getting into it, and Honey Badger gets the flag. Meanwhile, it was Tom Brady who instigated the whole entire deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way the way of the world – as it applies to football, is that you are going to protect the highest grossing commodity, the most fundable, investable, monetizable commodity in the game. Yeah. And that's the quarterback.
That's business, too. The business world's the same way.
100%. So, to me, he's stating the obvious, because even when we played, it's just an evolution of the complaint. The complaint has always been there. When we were playing, and now I look back on when I was playing, it's like, man, like, I was still able, like I told you guys the other show, I was still able to get 2.5 steps and lace a quarterback up, lace him up. You actually used to be able to. I remember one time, Latrells Bentley is one of the most amazing offensive linemen that people may not have heard of
Brady's guy.
Or know about. But Latrells Bentley was a grown man on the football field, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to destroy offensive linemen when I played. And I remember this one game against New Orleans. I hit Latrells Bentley, and it was like, sheesh. Like, the sweat came off me. I think I, like, my tongue went back in my throat. Like, it was such a traumatic force when we met. It offended me. I was offended by how my body reacted to hitting his. So maybe one or two, because I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let that go. Like, I love the smoke. I love beef. I couldn't let it go. So they had a run play. It was an off-tackle run play, misdirection. And it's going the opposite side of where I was coming from. And Latrells Bentley is watching the ball go downfield. I destroyed him, blindsided him, then kept rolling him downfield. Like, I'm just hitting him. He tried to get up, I hit him again. He tried to get up, I hit him again.
That's dirty.
It's football. And you can't do martial law things. Like, I looked at Latrells after I got done, like, hitting him. And he gets up, he's like, all right, I'm going to get you. Like, he's looking for the ref. He's like, what is this? All right, I got you, right? To me, the rest of the game was a war. It was a straight up man to man. He was looking for me every single play, and you didn't have to look far because I was looking for you. I was so offended. You don't have that now. I would have been flagged. I don't know. Maybe I ain't gonna go as far as say thrown out of the game. But imagine if that was a quarterback. You know, you can't crack back block. You can't. There are so many different things now that are so much geared towards taking away the physicality of the game, which, again, I don't disagree with it. I'm making the point of, as violent as we were back then, we didn't think we were allowed to be violent enough. So now where we are right now, where it's literally touch sensitive, especially with quarterbacks, it's just kind of like they got to adjust. You got to adapt, and you got to figure out how you can pick and choose your spots to do what you do. But the evolution of it, you got to adjust. This is the new normal. Yeah. So, it is what it is at this point.
I will say this, though. There are some rules they've put in to help defensive players. I mean, you're not allowed to block below the waist.
Right.
You're not allowed to block below the waist outside the tackle box anymore. That was a move because you saw offensive players doing that.
Breaking legs.
Going after the knees too, right?
Yeah. Denver, your team was notorious. We came into that game. Who was it? Neil? Was it Neil on the line? I want to say Neil. He might be older than you. But
he was, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Bro, they were known as leg breakers. This is a leg breaker game. And you said it and you meant it. That wasn't like for S's and giggles. This is a leg breaker game. Be ready. Like, work on chop blocks and zone blocking chop blocks,
because
they're going to try to break your leg.
I mean, I do think that takes out some scheme to it, right? Like, as much as it's for safety, it also levels the playing field. Like, for people who don't understand, when you got LeVar, for example, on the end of line of scrimmage, and if you've got a guy who potentially could cut him and go after his knees or his legs, you're not going to rush upfield as hard, are you? Like, it's a different scenario when you got a team like that. I remember back in college, like, trying to prepare our defense for Navy, it just wasn't about the triple option. it was about that our defensive linemen were going to get cut. Like, they would be getting coming after their knees the entire game, and you just had to prepare for it. There's no rules to stop you from doing it, especially within the tackle box now. So that's just part of the game. Here's where I think this is schematic, though, and this is a strategy by Tom Brady. What does Tom Brady do better than all these youngsters? Because we know he's not a guy who's going to play outside the pocket.
Yeah.
He lives within the pocket. He lives within that comfort zone, right? That's his home. That's his house. And he maneuvers around his house effortlessly, right? From the family room to the kitchen, whatever. Like, you can't stop him. He's like so fluid and so smooth, and he knows he's protected there, and you can't get to him because he gets the ball out so quick.
Mm.
He usually gets the ball out quick enough where you can't get to him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows where he's going with the football. Where young players make mistakes is where they hold on to the football. And then they try to extend the play like they do in college, or they try to make something else happen instead of just throwing it away or anticipating and getting it out sooner because they don't necessarily know where to go or they can't anticipate what's going to happen.
They're old. I mean, Big Ben was just doing it this weekend. Old head quarterbacks do the same thing.
Well, you go back to last year, though, no one got the ball out of his hand quicker than Big Ben.
Yeah, well.
He was holding
that bad boy this past
week. Maybe last week.
It was like a pinpoint grenade last year.
But you're talking to a Steelers fan, so, you know, I'm going to be hard on him.
And that's the frustration last week.
Don't hold the ball, Ben!
He's trying to get after Matt Canada right now anyway. I'm sure they're having that probably conversation this morning.
Can you call plays where I don't have to hold the ball so long?
Yeah. but this
is another angle for Tom Brady where 100%. It was the offseason you mentioned, trying to get other teams to not practice because he knows he's going to. He knows he can get those teams together. It's the same thing here. He knows, make the rules more difficult for these guys out of the pocket, you know. Let these defenders go and blow these guys up and keep protecting the pocket. But for all these guys who want to get outside of it, you know, go after those guys. Don't come after me.
Because he will complain about touching him. Whenever you touch him, he's looking for a ref like, ref, can I get a call? Can I get a call?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The tuck rule is based off of Tom Brady, if y'all remember. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, the alterations and concessions.
That was a great call. Listen, I think that was a great call. They got it right.
Horrible
they got
call.
It right on the field.
And that started everything. That horrible call started the whole dynasty.
By the way, Roberto just threw up a gang sign in the studio.
The bird is flying around this bad boy.
Roberto just threw up a gang sign.
Sorry.
Was that MS-13? Well, what the hell was that,
oh,
Roberto?
Wow.
Like,
I had nothing to do with that.
He threw up a gang sign
at me.
Like, he's making gestures at me because all I did was point out that they got the tuck rule right. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, never mind the fact that, you know, Vinatieri basically, that was the beginning of his Hall of Fame career.
That was the beginning of everybody's Hall of Fame careers.
I mean, yeah, the Raiders had that game in the bag, man.
And beating up, you know, the Rams receivers at the line of scrimmage, and then beating up Marvin Harrison at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
you know, that was when they started adjusting and adapting coverage. You know, man to man coverage. You can't push guys. You remember Ty Law sat he sat Marvin Harrison on the bench. He jammed him so bad in man coverage that he sat him on the bench.
You know.
During the play.
Marvin Harrison's had an interesting off the field.
Well, don't mess with him. That's from what I can gather.
Oh, yeah,
that's not the smoke you want.
Yeah.
That there really is smoke.
Oh man. Jesus.
Well then.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Okay. You said right. MS-13. I mean, it just went way left out here, man.
I'm just saying, you know, like I'm being, you know, flipped off through the, because all I did was point out a play from years ago. And for some reason, man, Raider fans are still bothered.
You don't want to miss that field goal, I'll tell you that.
All right. So when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious of crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains Camp, brought to you by NHTSA. I mean, you know where you can listen to us, though.
Where?
Fox Sports 940 in Miami, the home of the Miami Marlins and the Florida Gators. They have brought us on. Program director Grace Blazer, we appreciate you. They have brought us on, and we are a part of the Miami mornings there on Fox Sports 940. So
love
excited
it, man.
About that.
My stomping grounds.
And listen, Miami sports, that's a, you know, Florida put up a big fight. I actually watched the Florida-Alabama game at a wedding last week. week on my phone. So that was a good game. More important. 100% it was.
That's work.
And
that's work for you.
And my wife looked at me like, what are you doing? We're at my brother's wedding. And I said, hey, I'm on the clock, bro. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I got to watch this. I mean, we're going to be on in Miami on Fox Sports 940.
Lo siento? Is that what you end up saying?
You know, that too, maybe. But we're going to be on Fox Sports 940. I knew that was happening. So, you know, the home of the Florida Gators, also the Miami Marlins. I got to show them some love. So we appreciate Grace Blazer having us on there.
Shouts out.
And listen, Miami's got an NFL team that's going to be very interesting to watch moving forward. So
shouts out.
Quarterback situation's very bizarre there also.
Yeah. Did I even say that right?
Lo siento?
Yeah, that was correct.
Right. Oh, thank you. All right.
Your Spanish is better than Jonas's.
Kind of surprising. Hey. Kind of surprising.
Hey.
He did it.
You know, he did it. I was about to say something, and I realized, you know, I don't even think in Spanish I'm allowed to say that on the air.
Hey.
No, that's not.
He did it.
He was ready to start speaking Spanish.
Get him with the hey.
Yeah, I was. And then I realized, you know, I got to put that one back in the holster. I don't know that I'm allowed to say that on the air. So even though, you know, never mind. I'm not going to call anybody out. I might have heard. Let me tell you something. That's every night in my house. So there it is. All right. Coming up next,
I love my
though,
people, man. Shouts out to all my Spanish-speaking people, man.
Hey, man, I'm Noxican. What do you want from me?
Yeah, man. I'm Blaxican. Irish.
I'm Quinn.
Blaxican. Yeah. I'm Blaxican Irish.
Brady is Quinnez. He's Quinnez. Part of the family as well, too. Yeah. All right, so coming up next, we have the Prop Bet Monster. It is a special look ahead to Thursday Night Football, and it's yours next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Who are you taking a shot at with this intro song? You trying to Jonas?
What did I do? It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. You can listen to us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. And again, if for whatever reason you're struggling on the Fox Sports Radio stream on the iHeartRadio app, find your local affiliate.
We didn't do it, but we'll apologize anyway.
Go to AM570 LA Sports on the iHeartRadio app, and everything should be streaming fine there. I was listening to it earlier, so there's that. All right, so coming up, topic next hour, if only we had somebody on this show who made their first NFL start on a Thursday night. If only there was somebody on this show like Davis Mills. Interesting. If only that happened on this show, we will maybe investigate that coming up top of next hour here.
Really?
You know, what do you say? Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe, depending on what kind of mood they're in.
I feel like we have someone qualified for this.
I do too. Oh, you know, okay. I feel like we do too. Yeah,
sure.
You know, just get some inside information, some details. What to expect for Davis Mills there. Just saying.
Yeah. He's got his work cut out. Let's just say that.
Son of Tyrone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. All right.
Otherwise known as Chopper.
Without further ado, it is time for something we do on the show called this.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul. The Prop Bet Monster.
Sucker.
So here we go. It is Thursday night football for all the primetime games, the Mondays and the Thursdays. I put together some created prop bets. All right, these are my own prop bets. You probably can't find these anywhere close to an online sports book or a casino anywhere, but we like to have some fun here. And it's where I try and throw these out to Brady Quinn and LeVar Arrington and see them go head-to-head here to see who wins each week. Brady Quinn has a one-point lead as we enter into week three. So it's me asking an LB and a QB, and of course I'm a DB, so that would lead to this. It is Panthers at Texans later on tonight, and we'll start with first turnover: Sam Darnold or Davis Mills?
Oh man, I feel like this is a trick question because you're led to think it's going to be Davis Mills, but I think David Culley is going to play so conservative, run the football, that it's actually going to be Sam Darnold.
I think it will be Davis Mills.
Okay, so you're going to attack a rookie like that, LeVar.
I mean, yeah,
no heart.
I think he will be the first one to turn
player,
it over.
Man.
In a world so heartless.
Do you see the way they're playing defense? Carolina's playing some defense.
Yeah, they are.
They're getting after it.
They are. All right, so next up here. Next up here.
Had to clear his throat. Jeez.
All right.
This is outrageous. I can already tell.
When they reference Deshaun Watson's situation during the broadcast, do they refer to him visiting the rub room, the grab lab, the hand house, or the palm palace?
That's so whack, man. That's so whack.
Just make a pick, LeVar.
Can you go back through one more time?
Yeah. That would be...
He wants us to lose.
When they reference Deshaun Watson's situation during the broadcast, do they refer to him visiting the rub room, the grab lab, the hand house, or the palm palace?
I'm going with palm palace.
Okay. I like grab lab. Something about that that sounds like something that would be great to say.
All right. Very good.
Grab lab.
How long will it take for them to say Deshaun Watson's name for this
not
game?
Not long.
I mean, like, will we even make it into the game before they mention Deshaun Watson?
Hell no.
Because now you have another quarterback that is down for their team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why it's a story.
I think somewhere in the first quarter, that's a conversation.
He needs to get that hamstring rubbed on a little bit.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And the Palm Palace.
Yes. In the grab lab.
Is it too soon?
In the rub room.
Get to rub it out in the rub room. Palm therapy.
Leave the hand house out of this. Okay. All right, next up, does David Culley butcher a penalty enforcement tonight? Yes or no?
I'm saying no because I don't think there's – he got away with one. Like, he got away with one. People should have been harder on him, but they weren't because he's such a nice guy and it's his first year of being a head coach. But he got away with if that was Urban Meyer made that decision,
oh God,
he would have gotten absolutely roasted. But because it's David Culley and he's a nice guy and everyone likes him, he didn't. But I don't think he'll make that same mistake.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You are so negative today, LeVar.
Let's go with it. Let's double down.
All right, next up, we got two more to go. This is the Prop Bet Monster as we look ahead to Thursday Night Football. Former Panthers or Texans players shown first during the broadcast. Your options are Steve Smith.
Done.
Fox Sports Radio host Ephraim Salam, Jake Delhomme, or my guy David Anderson.
I'm going Steve Smith.
You're going to go Steve Smith?
I'm going to go with Steve Smith, too, because David Anderson hasn't been seen in years.
Yeah,
nobody's even going to recognize him.
Yeah,
or Jake Delhomme.
Well, it also,
they'll tell you who they are.
I was trying to fool you guys because Steve Smith is part of the Thursday Night Football coverage. Yeah, so I thought I could slip one faster.
We did
there.
Know that.
All right. Finally, Houston landmark shown first during the broadcast. Minute Maid Park, the Houston Rodeo, the Water Wall, or the strip club where James Harden's jersey is hanging?
I'm going with the next one, Deshaun Watson.
Okay, that is, You're a class personified by LeVar Arrington.
Hold on, you said the strip club. I'm gonna say the rodeo.
All right,
so the rodeo.
Very good, LeVar. What do you want to go with?
James Harden's jersey on
the
wall.
Very good.
Is it really on the wall?
Yes, absolutely.
Nick Wright.
Signed.
Nick, ask Nick Wright of Fox Sports One, who worked in Houston for years. He told that story on the air that James Harden's jersey is hanging up in a strip club.
Signed.
Yeah, signed jersey up in a strip club.
Maybe we should go. Man.
Just a fun place to be.
Just saying.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.